We're glad to have you here on this special Mother's Day. Before we begin, let me just share with you two things. One, you'll notice that the bread has on it a little label from Faith Farm. We purchased that bread as a way to help the ministry at Faith Farm, the women's ministry there, and so encourage you, if you don't go over there, to check out what God is doing through the ministries of Faith Farm. And thanks to those who've been handing them out. So make sure you get it on your way out. There's still lots of loaves, and encourage you with that. The other thing is, Mother's Day is always kind of a challenging Sunday, because we recognize in many ways it kind of alienates some people, right? Guys, we tend to tune out. Well, I never tune out, but some guys may tune out, right? And you're like, oh, it's for ladies. Well, I'm going to try to share some things that can be encouraging to you as well. It's difficult because not everyone's a mother. Some mothers have gone through difficult times. In the first service alone, I counted at least three ladies who had lost a child this year, a son, right? So this is their first Mother's Day going through that process. And so it's always challenging. Some of you, it's a reminder of your mom who maybe has passed away. And so there's challenges there as well. And so what I want to do this morning is try to encourage you and kind of tie into Merville's announcement about this prayer thing that is coming up. The advice I got from some individuals at my house was keep it short and keep it sweet. And so that's what I'm going to try to do. Keep it short and keep it sweet. But I do want it to be encouraging to you. So let's pray, and then we'll look at God's Word. Father, we are thankful for moms. We're thankful for the way that you have uniquely created us, male and female, and Lord, how we see throughout the Bible, so many of the moms were tender and nurturing and caring, and even in that video, it's a reminder of how moms took care of us. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the gift of motherhood. We're thankful that you open the womb and you allow us as individuals to create and recreate and procreate and all those ideas that go along with making an individual. And what a gift, Lord, that you allow us to be involved in the creating process. And so, Father, in this room, there are women who've experienced that, and we're thankful. There are women who want that, and we're asking that you would hear their prayers. There's also mothers who've experienced it and who've had grief as a result of their pregnancies, either through the death of a child or through a stray or wandering child. And so, Lord, we pray that your word today would minister to them as well. But, Father, speak and move and encourage your people. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, if your house was like my house, it was filled with mom being treated to breakfast. The boys made breakfast for her, and they had some cards that the teachers had so wonderfully allowed them to make at school. And so they were going through all the cards, and Allison had breakfast in bed and some gifts that they had purchased for her. And so it was a fun time, right, hopefully for Allison, an encouraging time. And those are good gifts. But I recognize that in this room, if we're honest, that all of those gifts that you get from your children, you enjoy them. But there is maybe, for some of you, a gift that you really long for. And that is, many of you women are longing for your children to know Christ. And I'm not trying to make this spiritual. I just recognize that through conversations, through people coming to my office, through knowing dynamics of your marriages, right? That for some of you ladies here today, you want your children to come to know Christ, and maybe you even want your husband to come to know Christ. Maybe your husband's even sitting next to you this morning, and that's really the ultimate gift that you long for. And some of you have that gift, but we recognize that in this room, there are some women whose husbands are not believers. Just the reality of it. And you long for God to grant you that gift of your spouse coming to faith in Christ and that your marriage being able to be one with Christ. For some of you, you long for your children or your grandchildren to come to faith. Maybe like us, and your kids go here, your grandchildren go here, they're involved in our children's ministry, our youth ministry, and you're just praying and you're longing, you're wanting God to move and to work and to draw them to faith, and that's your prayer. That really would be the greatest gift that you could have, is for your child to come and say, Mom, today I've trusted in Christ as my Savior. We also recognize that for some of you, you are experiencing what has been labeled the prodigal generation. There's an entire book that's been written called You've Lost Me, and the idea is there's an entire generation of millennials who've grown up in a church, right? Went to Vacation Bible School, went to Sunday school, all that sort of stuff. Around the, you know, late teens, early 20s, they fall away. They're not involved in church anymore, whether it's they went to college or just life, they get jobs, all that sort of stuff, and there's reasons for it. The church doesn't connect with them. There's all kinds of things that are out there, but at the heart of heart, what you have is a child, a student, a young adult, maybe even a grown child. That's just a lot of feedback. Can you hear that? It's a lot of feedback back there. Guys, I don't know if you can do anything about it. That your child, maybe they're even 40 now, but they have left the faith. They're not involved in any church, and what you're really wanting is for them to come back and to know the Lord. That would be the greatest gift, that if your child, a 40-year-old son or daughter, called you today and said, "Mom, I have recommitted myself," or "I've come back to the Lord," or "I've gotten reconnected to a local church," that would be a wonderful gift that you would long for. And so what I want to do today is to encourage you moms and grandmas and stepmoms and foster moms and whatever kind of spiritual moms, whatever kind of moms may be here, to not give up hope and to know that God is moving. And he's answering the prayers and the pleas for that gift. So let me invite you to look at Luke chapter 18. We're going to read this parable that Jesus shared regarding praying and not losing heart. Luke chapter 18. Can follow on the screen if you don't have a Bible. Notice this first verse. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" So let me take a minute and just kind of walk through the parable. I know that Paul did this in his class on Wednesday night. Some of you may have been in there. But what we have here is Jesus telling them a story about a woman. This is not a real woman. A parable is a fictitious story, so it didn't really live, didn't really happen. But he's using it as an illustration. A widowed woman has been wronged. Somebody's stolen something from her, a house, property, something that belonged to her, right? Some of you can relate. You've been scammed. Somebody called you. Somebody took your Social Security number. Somebody got your credit card, right? Somebody said, "I'll come fix your roof." And then they took your money and they didn't come fix your roof. I mean, something like that. That's what's going on. This woman has been wronged and she's looking for justice. And so she goes to the judge begging him to plead her case, to take her case and to avenge the wrong that has been done to her. Well, the judge doesn't care about what wrong has been done to her, so he's ignoring her. And so day and night, she's coming to him, and she's begging him, and she's saying, "Please, will you take up my case? Will you take up my case?" And in the text, it tells us, he doesn't care about her. He doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about God. There's no honor in this individual. But merely because this woman is pestering him, he says, "I'm going to give her what she wants so she'll leave me alone." I mean, that's the essence of what Jesus is telling in this parable. And then he connects it and he says, if this unrighteous judge knows how to bring justice, how much more God of justice? Now, I recognize that the implication or the big theme of the parable is this, if you're wanting to, with the topic here, is the idea of God's justice. God bringing justice. And so we're called in Romans not to avenge ourselves. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He will deal with things, right? So we're called to pray, we're called to ask, we're called to wait, and God will eventually, ultimately show himself as holy. He will honor his children who followed after him, those who bemoaned us and belittled us and made fun of us and poked at us and fired us and all the things that we've experienced because we followed in Christ, he will eventually one day display we were in the right because we were in Christ. Okay? I mean, that's the idea here. But what I want to take and apply it to this morning is that opening verse. Look, go back and look what it said. He told them that they ought to always pray and to not lose heart. So what I want to do is I want to take that idea of praying, because what he's saying is just as the woman kept pestering the judge, we're called to continue to make petitions to the Father. And let me just share with you this. Prayer is an amazing privilege. It really is. Have you stopped to think for a minute that the Creator of the universe, in his divine sovereignty, has established the created order so that our praying, he hears, and it impacts him, and it causes him to move and to work, and he answers. I mean, just think about that for a minute. He could have created and not cared about what we say, not cared about what we're concerned about, but what we see all throughout Scripture is he does, and there are times when it seems like the praying of God's people changes or moves or causes God to act in certain ways. That is unbelievable. I mean, just think about that for a minute. You, me, insignificant in the grand scheme of God, hears us and sometimes moves and work based on what we're asking. What an amazing privilege. But prayer is also a great responsibility. We're commanded to pray in Scripture. But the reality is this generation is really a prayerless generation. I know some of you pray and some of you pray often, but by and large, most of us don't pray. We're not fasting, we're not praying, we're not doing the kind of praying like this woman is doing. We're not pleading and petitioning and begging and coming before God on a daily basis or continually and asking him to move and to work and to answer and do those sorts of things, right? I mean, we may flippantly pray here or there or ask God to do this or that, but not the kind of praying that we see he asking us to do in this parable. And the other thing for you to consider is this. Just as in this parable, the woman's only hope for her situation was the judge, moms, grandmas, the only hope you really have for your child or for your husband, I'm going to interchange those two because I think it really is your prayer, for your child or for your husband to come to faith rests in him. That is your really only, is your only real hope. You can live godly lives in front of your children and your husband. You can talk to him about Jesus. You can bring him to church. But at the end of the day, what you need is God to supernaturally move and to work and to bring an act of regeneration on their heart. Right? And so what we're called to do is to cry out and plead, God, I'm doing what I can. I'm inviting them and I'm bringing them and I'm reading them and I'm giving them scriptures and I'm talking to them about you, but I need you to move, Lord. I need you to work. I need you to do what only you can do, and that is save them. If we could save our families by the way that we acted or by the things that we could do, we would all do it, but we all know those things are important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you not to do those. But at the end of the day, we need God to take up our cause, right? Just like this woman needed this judge to take up her cause. And so we're called and we're commanded to pray without ceasing, to come and to ask God to move and to work. But prayer's hard. It really is. It's mentally hard. It's physically hard. It's spiritually hard, right? We got to rearrange our schedules. We got to get up in the morning or we got to stay up at late. There's all types of things, right? And even praying is hard. It's hard focusing. It's hard drowning out all the things that are going on. I mean, you know, our phones are calling us and texting us and beeping at us and computers are drawing us and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, right? There's so many things that draw for our attention. And so it really is hard to get away and to pray and to seek the Lord's face. But I tell you this, there's great encouragement to do so. And I'll tell you this as well, what we see is we're commanded here in this opening verse to not lose heart. See, what some people do is this, they say, well, I prayed about it and I didn't see God move or work. Just because you don't see God work doesn't mean he's not working. Just let that sink in. the person that you're praying for, your child, which may seem so far away from the Lord, and you may say nothing is going on in their life and I don't see any effect of what I've been praying for, I want you to know they may be far from the Lord, but the Lord's not far from them. And when you're praying and you're asking and you're petitioning God, these prayers are being stored up and he's hearing them and they're this fragrant aroma to him. And what he's doing is he's going to move and he's going to work at the right moment and at the right time, and he's going to bring to pass what you have been asking and praying and petitioning. So don't stop. Don't stop asking. Don't stop praying. Don't start petitioning. Don't give up. As the parable says, don't lose heart. The Lord hears what you're praying. There's a story about a famous theologian. Depending on where you're from, the south or the north, you may call him Augustine. You may call him Augustine, right? But the story of his mother was one where she and her husband were in a kind of a mixed marriage, meaning like believing and unbelieving. And so he was raised in this kind of schizophrenic home spiritually. And he grew up just doing what he wanted. And his mother was praying, and she was praying, and she was praying, and she was pleading, and something like almost 20 years praying and pleading and begging and crying for God to move and to work. And one of the religious leaders of the day said, God is going to move and work because you have prayed and you have pleaded so much for God to move and to work. And if you know the story, God moved and worked like this. And that young man, who was not a follower of Christ, God honored the praying of his mother. God honored the petitions that were laid before the throne on a daily basis or hourly basis, or however often she prayed. And God used that man, that rebel, that guy who was far from God and was involved in the ways of the world, at the right moment, the right time, God intersected his life. And what happened? He became one of the great theologians in the early church. God hears your prayers. Even though you don't see him moving, even though you don't think he's moving, even though you may think it's been a really long time and the temptation is going to be to lose heart, don't lose heart, moms, but continue to seek God's face, believing that he answers prayers and he hears your petition. So let me just give you briefly on your bulletin, if you want to jot down, based on this text and based on what we see in Scripture, six reasons or six quick things to remind you or give you reasons to not lose hope. Okay, so that opening verse, he wanted them to not lose heart and to continue to pray. Well, here's six reasons for you not to lose heart when it's this issue of praying. So moms, grandmas, wives, this is why you should continue to pray. Number one, I've kind of addressed it, but let me just state it in a way that is very clear. The Lord hears the prayers of his children. He hears the emotional begging, pleading, petitioning of his children day and night. We see that all throughout Scripture. We see when God deals with Israel, when they're in Egypt, he says, your pleads and your begs for mercy have risen to me. I have heard them and I am moving. Now, it was 450 years, but God moved and he worked and he answered. Remember Hannah praying and begging that God would allow her to get pregnant. And what did God do? He heard her prayer and he allows her to get pregnant. You see over and over again where God hears the prayers of his people. And the amazing thing is, even in the book of Revelation in chapter 5, it says that there's this bowl. And in the bowl, it's being poured out as incense are what? The prayers of the saints. What's that saying? It's saying, moms, that your prayers don't hit this roof. It's saying, moms, that when you're praying for your children or your husband, and you may feel like nothing is going on and nobody is listening, that is not true. Your prayers are echoing throughout the universe, and God is grabbing them and catching them and hearing them and storing them and using them to move and to work for his glory and for your good. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, that's what Scripture is showing us. There's an entire bowls of prayers that are just being poured out as fragrant offerings, prayers of worship, prayers of thanks, prayers of petition, all of those things. So we know that God hears your prayers. So moms, don't give up praying. God hears your prayers. A second reminder that why you should continue in prayer and not lose hope is because Jesus tells us to ask for things. Look, John chapter 16, you know, he's getting ready to go away, and he tells his disciples in Acts chapter 16, verse 24, he says this, "Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive," there's this awesome little statement, "that your joy may be full." Ask, and you'll receive, that your joy, ask in my name, ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus is telling us, ask. Moms, Jesus is telling you, pray for your children. Here's how I know. Because praying for the salvation of your children, praying for the salvation of your husband, falls in line with what God desires. I don't have to ask, is this something God wants or not? You know how I know? Because the next one I'm going to tell you is because God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. God delights in people coming to know Him. God delights in people coming to faith in Him. So when you're praying for your children, you can have confidence that what you're asking for is something that honors Christ. I'm praying, oh Lord, that my children will move from death to life. I'm praying that they will turn from unrighteousness to righteousness. Those are the types of things that honor Him, that He's pleased to answer. And do you notice what it says? That He wants to answer those things so that your joy will be full. Even if you're a Christian mom here and your kids are in church, praying that your children, praying that Ben and Luke and Ty and Nate, that they would come to faith, that that would bring joy to our hearts. People coming to faith brings joy to our hearts, and children coming to faith bring joy to a mother's heart. And so Jesus is telling you, moms, ask. Don't stop asking. I hear what you're asking. The third one, and I kind of already said it, so I'll just kind of go by fast, but the Lord does not delight in the death of the wicked. So when you're praying for your husband to come to faith, you're praying for your child to come to faith, you're praying for your grandchildren to come to faith, you can know that what you're praying is consistent because God desires none to perish, but all to come to a knowledge of the truth. Fourth, the reason that you as moms and grandmas should continue to pray and not lose heart, because we're encouraged, we're instructed to come boldly before the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 4, Don, where are y'all in Hebrews? All right, so y'all have well past this. Let me just remind you, Hebrews chapter 4, he's talking about Jesus being our great high priest, who's able to help us in every temptation, who's able to help us when we're struggling, all those sorts of things. But then he says these things, "Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." What he's telling us is when we're petitioning and we're praying, we're coming before not a mean dictator, not somebody who doesn't care about us, but we're petitioning before the throne of grace. So as your tears are flowing and your heart is emotional and you're expressing the pleads and the desires of your heart, it is before a sovereign King who loves you, who cares for you, and who wants good in your life. So continue to pray because you're praying before a throne of grace. Number five, the reason you should continue to pray is because the Bible tells us to not be anxious, but to present your requests to God. Remember that? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through what? Prayer and thanksgiving with supplication, do what? Present your request to God, and what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Some of you ladies in this room, you're anxious about your kids, aren't you? You're anxious if they died today, they don't know the Lord, what's going to happen. You're anxious about they're making some bad decisions, that if they don't get back on the right track, that's going to impact their life. They're dating somebody you don't like, or they're doing things you don't like, or they're living together with somebody, or whatever's going on, or your husband's doing all sorts of stuff, right? And you're anxious and you're worried. Let me just tell you what, none of that's going to help the situation, that anxiety. But what we can do is we can pray. Moms, you can pray and you can give thanks. So instead of worrying about what's going to happen to your child if they don't get their life straight, go to the one who can change it. Lord, my child, if they stay on this track, is going to lead to destruction. Your word tells it. I see it all throughout Proverbs and other places. Lord, I'm begging you. I'm asking you. I'm asking, Lord, move and work and bring my child to faith. Guard them. Don't allow them to get involved in this. Protect them. All those sorts of things, right? Trusting him and letting that peace guard your heart. That's what he tells us. Don't be anxious about what's going on. Don't be anxious about their lostness, but instead pray and seek God in those moments. And a sixth reason would be this. Because the Bible tells us that the prayers of a righteous person are what? Powerful. James chapter 5, remember that? Of course, he's talking about healing in there, and then he kind of says that the prayers of a righteous man, a righteous person, are powerful and they're working, are powerful and effective. Mom, if you're worried about the salvation of your kids, the likelihood is you yourself are saved, which means you're righteous, not because you've done things, but because Christ's righteousness is in you, because you have been clothed with his righteousness. So do you understand, Mom, that your praying for your children has great power in it? And I want you to know, nobody loves your kid like you do. I mean, you know that. But I'm going to tell you, even here, Brent has 20 to 30 kids, right? You may have two or three or four. You pray for your kids. And there's power there. And God is hearing it. And when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and he's talking about marriage, right? There's this interesting passage where he talks about if you have an unbelieving husband and he will stay with you, you stay with him, and in doing so, it kind of makes him to be sanctified and your children are holy. I think what, in some ways the idea there is this, because you have a believing parent in that relationship, a believing parent in this home, that your husband and that your children are impacted because you're praying for him, because God is blessing you, because God is moving and working for the good of you as a believer, and by extension, and your children and your husband experience blessings because of you. Moms, recognize if you are a believer in Christ and you're praying for your children, you are powerfully working in their life in a way that nobody else is. You're called to pray for them. Don't give up hope. Your praying for your children is enormously powerful. You don't need me to pray for them. You don't need a youth pastor to pray for them. You don't need Don to pray for them. I mean, it's good for us to pray with you for them, but I want you to know you are powerful, Mom, because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're called to pray for your children. But the question that often gets raised is, okay, Travis, I hear what you're saying. Pray for my kids. Don't lose heart. And I know the scripture says, but I have been praying for them. And I don't see an answer. Why does God seem so slow to answer? I mean, why doesn't God, right now, Travis, you say he doesn't take delight in the death of the wicked. He wants to give me what joy in my heart. That would really bring joy to my heart this Mother's Day if I got a call from my son right now, my daughter right now, my husband right now, telling me they've come to faith. Why is he so slow? You ever ask that question? Here's the great theological answer for you. I don't know. I don't know. He does mention that in there. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Verse 7. Will he delay long over them? So in that context about bringing judgment on those who've wronged, God is not slow, but he's patient, wanting those to come to faith, right? I mean, that's the context there. But why is it that God is slow in answering things like that? Somebody coming to faith. Well, I don't know. I mean, some of the things you might draw conclusions at is maybe what he's doing is he's trying to teach us patience. Maybe God is doing something in us and he's working in us and he's teaching us about prayer and he's doing something in our life. Maybe he's doing something in the other person's life. Maybe they're not ready yet. Maybe there's something that they have to experience that God is going to use as part of their salvation experience that thus impacts them for the rest of their life. Make sense? And we don't see how God sees, but he sees all. He knows all, and his ways and his timing is perfect. Don't you think Israel was praying for the Messiah for a long time? But it took like 2,000 or 4,000 years to get it. Maybe 6, if you're young earth, right? But I can tell you this, it's kind of like the issue with like giving a kid a gift. Maybe your kid is like, let's say it's November. Mom, I really want this. Mom, I really want this. And you're not giving it to him because you know you've already got it for him and you're giving it to him at Christmas. Right? And you're waiting for Christmas. But they cannot believe that you won't get it for them on Thanksgiving because everybody else got it on Black Friday. Right? And your child's begging and pleading and pleading, and you're just like, maybe, we'll see. And then come Christmas morning when he doesn't, you know, maybe you wait all day and you don't give it to him in the very end. But when you give it to him, what joy in his heart, right? And there's, I think there's an essence of that as well. You're praying and you're praying. Your prayers aren't going unanswered. They're not going ignored. God is hearing them. He's moving. He's working in them. And all of those prayers are being used together with God's sovereignty and his power. And at the right moment, at the right time, in that person's life, he will move and he will work for his glory. And that person will come to faith. I'm telling you what, all those prayers, when that person out of nowhere comes to faith. Yeah, out of nowhere, all that hard prayer that's gone in for a long time to get out of nowhere. Makes sense? See what I'm saying there? So sometimes that's how God works. Sometimes it's supernatural. You see that in Scripture. Remember when Daniel was praying and the angel comes to him and said, I've been what? I've been delayed because there's some supernatural stuff going on around you. Daniel didn't know that. And moms and dads, just want you to know, especially moms, because it's Mom's Day, I'll just stick to you. If you don't think there's a spiritual battle going on around your family and your kids, you're foolish. There is. If you're a believer in this room today, there is spiritual battle going. It's not just the pastor's kids, not just deacon's kids that are under the spotlight and are being, you know, having this spiritual thing. If you're a believer in Christ, the evil one wants your children. He wants to break the legacy, break the chain, right? He already has the lost world's children. He has them in the palm of his hands. He says that those who are not in Christ are under the power and the authority of the evil one. No, what he's looking for is your kids. And he bombards them with images and desires and lures them with temptations, right? And friendships. So it's all the more reason to be praying for them. Because there's supernatural things that are going on. And maybe on the 21st day kind of thing, and using Daniel as an example, God will move and work. But so what I'm wanting you to see is your prayers are not meaningless. Your prayers are not useless. Your prayers are not falling on deaf ears. God is moving. God is working. God is hearing. God is answering. He's already at work working. So don't lose heart. Don't give up, but continue, moms, to press in, to seek, to pray, and continue to do so until God answers. You don't have to ask, God, is it your will that I pray for my son to be saved? No, pray that. Pray that. If you're asking me, should I pray about a new house or a new job or a new car? Yeah, I don't know what God's will is for you in that situation, but I do know this. God desires children to come to faith. God desires spouses to be in faith. God desires us to be evenly yoked, right? So we have all these scriptures where, yes, pray for that. Pray for your husband. Pray for your children to come to know Christ, and pray until the good, gracious God answers and answers in his glory. The last question you see in that text, though, is when Jesus says, the issue is not whether God's going to move or work. The issue is where people have faith when he does. The question really for you moms is, will you continue to remain in the faith? Will you continue to pray even when it seems like God is distant and dark and silent and not moving? Will you continue to pray? Will you continue to pray believing his word? Will you continue to pray believing his promises? Will you continue to pray believing, saying, Lord, I know that you're going to move and work because your word says so. Even though I don't see it in my eyes, I believe it by my spirit. Maybe what God is doing is more in your life than even in the lost person's life. Maybe he's wanting to grow you in your faith and your trust of him. Listen, Jesus told the moms and the grandmas at Florida Gardens Baptist Church, and it's true because it's in his word and it's speaking to you here today. He's speaking to you now. Jesus is telling you, moms, that you ought always to pray and to not lose heart. Two things for the guys, and I'm done. If you are a believing husband here today, my challenge for you is when you get home sometime today, for you to grab your wife's hand and say, baby, you're not praying for this alone. I'm praying with you. and pray together as a family for your children, whether it's your young children, whether it's your wayward child, whatever the situation is, but join them in prayer. Don't let these women be the prayer warriors for your family, men. Join them and pray with them. And for some of you men that maybe are unbelievers or you're not sure who Jesus is, my challenge for you is today when you go home to ask your wife, who is this Jesus that he's talking about at church? And wives, be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in you, and be ready for God to answer. Let's pray. Father, I'm praying that we as a church and that the moms and the grandmas here in this congregation, that they would not lose heart. Lord, I know that in this room there are moms and grandmas who long for their children and grandchildren to come to faith, that there are wives who long for their husbands to know you. Lord, the greatest gift that they could hear today would be, I've trusted in Christ. Lord, some of these moms have been praying that for years. Lord, I pray that they would not lose heart. I pray that even today that you would give them glimmers of hope, that you would remind them, Lord, that their prayers are not falling on deaf ears, but Lord, you are moving and you are working. Lord, would you sustain them? Would you revive them? Would you reinvigorate them to pray and to pray and to pray? And oh, Lord, would you be swift to answer so that their joy could be full? Lord, I pray that every student on campus here and who regularly comes here and whose families are connected to this church, Lord, we are praying that your spirit of regeneration would breathe on them. And Lord, that you would answer the prayers of so many in this room for that. And we pray, oh Lord, that the same spirit of regeneration and life would breathe, even in this room, on the unbelieving husbands. They would come to faith in Christ, and those families would be spiritual and strong for the glory of Jesus. Oh, Lord, magnify your name. Show yourself as glorious in answering the prayers of your people, your children, your saints. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning,